Do me a favor, let's start this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 11, beginning with verse 25. And if you don't have a Bible with you, I bet Ray would grab a stack of them and just raise your hand and Ray will get one into your hands. Yeah, Matthew chapter 11. Thanks, Ray. Beginning with verse 25. Now, yesterday I was asking the Lord, if he would give me a passage that, that would lead us into worship this morning, that would help us get in the right frame of mind. And he brought this to me, but he showed me something that that I hadn't expected in the passage. Now, when we study Scripture, it's usually a good idea, not usually, it's always a good idea, to look at what's before and after the specific passage that you're looking at so that you have it in context, right? Now, if you look, this, we're going to begin with verse 25, right? But this immediately follows Jesus talking about the woe to unrepentant cities, what would happen to them. Now, in 25, and this is in the NIV, at that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Now, the following part is the passage that I thought the Lord was leading me to yesterday. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I know that many of us are dealing with various burdens, and we've got a lot of rocks in our backpacks. But look at the context here, right? It says in verse 27 and 27, right? "No one knows the Father except no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Right? And then he goes into talking about burden. Right? And I think what he's saying here, the fact that one follows the other, is that how he knows us, or how we know him, rather, comes to when we come to be yoked with him. Right? Now, I'm a city kid. Right? I didn't know a whole lot about yoking oxen. And what I found out was that at that time, right, they would take a piece of wood, right, and specifically carve it for the two oxen involved. And it was typical for them to take a young, inexperienced ox and team him up with the more experienced ox. And the reason was that the younger ox would be likely to rabbit trail, to see a rabbit or something and want to go off trail, right? And the older ox, typically a stronger, would stay on the path. And so what is Jesus telling us here, right? If we're weary and burdened, right, and I know a number of us are, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." In other words, follow him, right? And that "I am gentle and humble in heart." Right? His pathways are better for us, and you will find rest for your souls. Right? Our bodies, our emotions, the things that we struggle with, right? The things that fight with us day by day. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, if we're going to worship the Lord, at least for me, I have a hardest time worshiping the Lord when I'm busy thinking about my next mortgage payment, my car payment, struggle with a friend, someone I love. I have a hard time worshiping the Lord under those circumstances. And so this morning, I'd ask that all of us, let's be yoked with the Lord. Let's give that burden to him. Let him take it so we can truly worship to know Lord and know Jesus the way he wants us to worship him. Would you stand up and join me in prayer, please? Father God, we're grateful. We're grateful that you're here among us, Lord. We're grateful that you are willing to be yoked with us, Lord, so that we might follow you. And we're grateful that you're willing to have us to know you, Lord. Father, now I ask that you'd help us to do just that, to be yoked with you so that we may know you and we may worship you for the God who you are. Yes, and we thank you in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And now, Jonathan and Robin are going to lead us in worship.
Please remain standing. Let's sing praises to our God who saves.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. The Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Amen, amen. Let's praise the Lord together. Quick verse to read as well. It's a message from Paul. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And this relates to what Gary was saying. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." And then he goes on to say, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." And we're going to sing about the wonderful cross and sing about the power of the cross to save us, to bring us into that place of rest where we can lay our burdens down at the cross and be blessed. When I survey.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride.
See from his head.
See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns composed so rich a crown? Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die, and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, and all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name, and bless your name.
We're the whole realm.
We're the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die, and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die, and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, and all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name, and bless your name.
Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful cross that has saved us, that has brought us into relationship with you, that has rid our sins, that has given us your righteousness, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for this time where we can worship you and praise you for who you are, Lord. And just as Gary was saying, just help us keep our focus off of ourselves and these distractions that are around us. And Lord, just bring us to this heart of worship where we can focus on you, and it's all about you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
I'll bring you more than a song.
I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. You're looking into my heart, into my heart. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. You're looking into my heart, into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Jesus, all about you, Lord. And in response, we want to just surrender our lives to you, to give you everything that we have, because you are worthy. We praise you, Lord.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. As you spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure, you carried the cross for my shame. Then weight upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation, your Spirit alive in me, my life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. Again. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours.
All I am.
And all I am is yours.
Cry it out.
And all I am is yours. And all I am is yours.
Amen. Lord, we stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. We surrender our lives, Lord. Everything we have is yours. We're just stewards of it, Lord. Help us to honor you and glorify you because you love us. And out of thankfulness, Lord, that we live our lives for you and for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? Are you tired? You made it, though. God's got you here. 18, that's right. All right, well, the first thing, even before we get into announcements, as we were worshiping, the Lord just kind of spoke to me. As we were singing those worship songs, as Gary shared and as Robbie and Jonathan were leading us in worship, you know, everything is built in our lives on the cross. All that foundation is built on Jesus Christ. Now listen, God has got you all here this morning for a reason. He brought you here, okay? And yes, there's going to be folks coming in an hour late. I'm positive that will happen. God will bring in them too. But God has brought you here for a reason. Now listen, as we were worshiping, what he was saying is, I don't know if you guys know what a level is or what it does, but when you're building, the level keeps everything even, okay? If something's just a little bit off one way or the other, the whole building's going to be wee-wah. It's going to collapse. So the foundation needs to be solid, and it needs to be level. See, this right here is even a cheap $1 Dollar Tree level, which means it's probably junk as it is. But we have a level that is sure and solid. We have a firm foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. Now listen, if you build your life on anything, on anyone else, any relationship, any business, the dollar, you want to be popular, you want to have prestige, you want whatever it is, you build on that, and it's a wee-wah foundation. It's not firm. It's like shifting sands. The winds and the waves and the storms of life are going to hit you. Satan's going to undermine that and wash that away. But if you build your life on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, his cross, and you build your life upon him, you know what? God's going to do amazing things in you and amazing things through you, because that's what he does. The Bible says that you're being built right now. Right now, you're being built into a spiritual priesthood, a holy people. That's what our God does. And holy doesn't mean like we walk around like we're all that in a bag of chips. Right? No. Holy just means, you know what? I'm set apart for God. I'm God's kid. You know, for those of us who have lived in the world for a longer time, you'll find out that it's really got nothing to offer you that's lasting. Do you know what I'm saying? That sin will be pleasurable for a season. The Bible even says that, right? It's true. But in the end, let me tell you, it's going to be empty. But if you will give your heart and your life over to Jesus Christ, he will do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask for or imagine. So whether you're laying that foundation right now and God is calling you, give it up to him. Maybe there's something in your heart. There's some sin. There's a struggle. There's something that's going on in there that you're not letting go of. Give it up to him. Don't fight him on it. He has something far greater for you. Yeah, you're scared to let that thing go. Yeah, you don't want to. Let it go and give it up to him. Let him do that work in your heart and life. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, let's go over a couple of quick announcements. And then we're going to start service. Okay, so we've got tons of Panera Bread loaves back there. When I say tons, I mean literally we've got 5 or 6 bags and loaves of bread. And if you saw all the desserts back there, please eat them up and then take them home. And here's something else that you can do. Do you know what? If you want to take a bunch of the loaves, fresh loaves home for you, and then maybe take a few extra home for the neighbor, how about you just bless them in Jesus' name? You know, how about you just use it as an open door to just share the gospel or just to be Christ to someone else? Okay? Let that be an open door. Hey, we just wanted to bless you. No strings attached. Just do it. Okay? Take it free in Jesus' name. Also, so I don't forget this. We've got a little prayer text list. Delaney, do you have that sheet handy? Thank you. You're amazing. Okay, so we do a little list, and we're trying to make sure that everybody who wants to be on that list, and I probably probably do this for 2 Sundays because I forgot about the hour jump ahead till yesterday. So we'll probably do this for a couple Sundays, but if there's anybody and this is your home church and you're not already on this list, we send out a little text. We do Bible verses that we'll send out at least once a week where we're going to send out the Word of God or a devotional thought, okay? And that will just encourage you or challenge you like it did this week. And so we'll send that out at least once or twice a week, prayer requests from the body. Somebody was telling me, I feel so disconnected on the prayer request just the other day. And so we want to make sure that everybody gets added, because the enemy is always trying to say, oh, you don't belong. You're not a part. That's what he does. He's a divider. And God is saying, don't listen to him. You come into the fold. You're loved. And so we offer prayer requests for folks. We just had a praise report, 2 days ago. I won't even say the specifics of it, but Ronnie was just telling me that God has done a great work and has just got a clean bill of health, so to speak, from the things that are going on in her life. So praise the Lord. And so We send out those prayer requests and Bible study reminders, also study helps or worship songs from YouTube. They're just little things all during the week to encourage you in the Lord. And so if you would like to be a part of that list and you're not already, would you just raise your hand and we'll add that? Okay, with some up here. Delina, would you mind coming up here? There's a few up here. Thank you. And then we just get your name and number, and then we'll put you on that list. And we'll do that for the next few Sundays, okay? Thank you so much. All right, a couple other things, so I don't forget. Tithes and offerings, you guys know we're not going to cajole you, or we're not going to rope you into giving, but there's a little bird box in the very back, a bird box back there that you can give your tithes and offerings in the hallway. And we would be happy to receive them in Jesus' name. God does wonderful things with that. A couple events coming, if you are at all interested. March 28th at Church of the Nazarene, Thursday, 6:30, a Secret Keeper Girl. Sophie, is she here? I didn't see Sophie. Oh, she's in with the kids today. Okay. So, yeah, we got a bunch of all the teens. If you're wondering where they're at, they're over at the other building. I actually caught a little video of them and their planning session, and how they were doing the worship songs. They were having such an awesome time. The teens were all doing it, about six of them, and they were all doing it. And I thought, yeah, actually, I was going to show it this morning. They all were like, no, you can't show that to the adults. Right, exactly. Well, anyway, I was voted down. But anyway, so that's a fantastic thing if you're a mom and you have a daughter from the ages of about 7 to 12. And you can get the tickets at the Joy FM, but that's March 28th. I just want to make sure you know about that. Also, Child Evangelism Fellowship. There is a fundraiser. We support, it's one of the missions that we support here. And Sherry Brower, who you guys have seen up here many times, she's now moved to the middle of the state, and she's actually been in charge, now put in charge of the entire state of Florida for Child Evangelism Fellowship. So we're going to not see her as much, but we do have Pastor TJ, who works with our teens and works with the kids, and he goes to the school here. And so he comes out and he teaches every Friday, teaches the kids here at Shepherd's Heart Christian School. But anyway, they're doing a little fundraiser. They've been around for a long time. It's going to be April 2nd at 6:30. Somebody has sponsored a table, and so dinner is going to be served, okay? It's a fundraising event. If anyone would like to go, okay, I've got about 10 of these, okay? The table's already been paid for in Jesus' name, okay? So all you have to do, if you would like to go, just grab one of these envelopes, okay? And maybe I'll hand them out next week, but I'll put them right here on the podium. Everybody see? They're right here. And in there is just an RSVP. And if you want to go and you want to, on behalf of our church and support CEF, then we want to encourage you to do so. And this is their big fundraising event. So if you would like to do that, just grab one of those envelopes. And again, send a little RSVP and mail it. And you can have it in Jesus' name and go support them. Okay? All right, so that's up there, and we'll hand some more out next week. Yeah, okay, good. All right, let me think. I think that's going to be at the tab. It's okay. Also, prayer. In our Experiencing God course, it's been absolutely amazing. We were listening to about 25 people were here this Thursday taking the Experiencing God course. And just watching them, how God is speaking to them in prayer. It's just saying how God is using this course to inspire them to pray more, to talk more to the Lord, hearing from the Lord more. It's been a wonderful, amazing, spirit-filled time. And I'm loving every minute of it. And so I just want to encourage you guys to come out Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. to meet Gary and Mark out here for prayer outside in the patio area. It's just a great time to pray for the church, the body, the community, the school. Also, we've got on Tuesdays, we've got men's Bible studies, the first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. dinner, 6:30 Bible study, going through the book of Ephesians. Also, the women on the second Tuesday of each month from 6:30 to 8:30, also going through the book of Ephesians. And Erica's in charge of that if you'd like to talk to her. I think she's out with the kids too. Also, you can talk to her about this too. Priscilla Shearer, she's also going beyond. She's doing a simulcast Saturday, April 6th. If you would like to be involved in that, it's an all-day Saturday training event in the Word. Okay, if you would like to be a part of that, please see Erica or Miss Lisa or myself, and we'll get you involved in that. Okay, and that's April 6th. Oh, that's right. Sorry, you guys are no longer. You're the Whosoever's Youth Group. And so also wanted to say thank you. We had a bake sale last week, and this from this little church, you know, with the kids. We probably got 100 folks with the kids. And you know what? Just from one little bake sale, we raised $300. And so that's, some of you are like, $300 with, now for us, $300, that's a lot of money. And so we're just so thankful. And some, this is just some of the youth that helped out baking. And if you had the brownies, they were absolutely amazing. So just want to say thank you, Lord, just for the teens. And again, that experiencing God course has been such a blessing. I think God wants to use that as a catalyst for something, to have us teach more. I don't know what that means, but it's been a tremendous blessing on Thursday night. So we're about halfway done the course, maybe a little more. But if it comes up again, stop what you're doing and take this course with us. Okay? And maybe it'll come up quicker if enough people say they want to take it again. Well, okay, so I think that's it. Is there anything that I left out? Okay. No, we good? Anthony? Okay, good. Okay, good. All right. We will do one thing. Part of our job here is we equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay? So if anybody would like, this is a book. I'm actually going to give you this book. I'm going to start. You're taking it already. There you go. All right. Okay, so this is this book here. If anybody would like this, we've given it out before. Okay, it's a book by Kyle Idleman called Not a Fan. Okay, we do this all the time. It's just a gift in Jesus' name. This is talking about, there's a lot of people in Christianity. I think I mentioned this last week. Christianity seems to be like miles wide, but just a little inch, few inches deep. And it's not, those roots of Christ go down deep. That's solid foundation. And this is, book is going to challenge you about not being just a fan of Jesus. Because if you've ever been a fan of a football team, a baseball team, when they're winning, everybody's like, woohoo, go team. And then when they're losing, everybody's like, oh, who cares about that team? And you know what? God doesn't want that in your relationship with him. So if anybody would like a free book in Jesus' name, I want you to read it and I want you to be challenged. Yes, Amanda Panda, can you deliver one back there? Good. Is there anybody else? Not a fan back there? Okay. Look, people sometimes get frustrated with me for giving all this stuff away. You know what? If it's helping folks grow in the Lord, isn't that what we want? If you become stronger, God, that's going to overflow into other people. Sorry, Amanda Pan, I'm going to make you work more. There's one more back there in the right back corner. Okay, good. Yeah, anybody else? Anybody? Bueller? Okay. And that Jesus Freaks books is awesome. Yes. Next time we give that away, you mention it. Also, if anybody wants a devotional through the New Testament, this will do it for you. It'll go, in 1 year, you'll go through the New Testament with an Old Testament corresponding verse. 15-minute devotional every day, okay, 5 days a week. And then a little challenging thought by Beth Moore or Billy Graham. So if anybody wants one of these too, it's just free. You'll be able to read through the whole New Testament in 1 year. It's just a gift in Jesus' name. Okay. All right, son. Thanks. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. All right, son, can you do me a favor? That lovely young lady right back there, if you could keep your hand raised up, we'll deliver it to you. See her back there? Would you go give that to her? Okay, anybody else? Okay. Have you got to? Jade, would you go give it to that young man in the glasses? Thank you. Good. Anybody else? All right. Fantastic. All right, Billy. Billy. Hi, come on up. All right, so normally we're going through the book of James here and going verse by verse. Over the past month, we have been just speeding right along, and we've made it all the way to verse 12. So we have been cruising along in the Word of God. You remember James is like the Browning 50 caliber machine gun of the New Testament. But today, we're going to take a little break, and we're just going to do something special. And so we support a wonderful ministry, one of the missions that we support when you guys give tithes, and we do CEF or Child Evangelism Fellowship or Loving Hands. This is one of the missions that we give to as a church body. And so when you give, this is where the money goes. And so we just wanted to invite Loving Hands out to come out here and to share what God is doing. And I was so mad that we happened to fall on the day where the hour goes ahead. And I was thinking, oh, people are going to miss it. But I'm glad you're here. So that is exciting. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to share a little bit about this ministry at Loving Hands and what they do. And then you're going to hear some testimonies and just a little bit of sharing of what God's doing within this missions organization, within this ministry organization that we support. And then afterwards, we're going to invite our own brother Anthony up here, and him and I are just going to talk for a minute and close this out. So, Billy, can I hand you the microphone? You want the handheld?
Yeah.
All right, you got it.
I don't work very good with a lapel. But so my name is Billy. I'm with Loving Hands Ministries. I came to Loving Hands back in late 2011, and I came because I was drug addicted to Oxycontin, heroin, and many other things, mainly Oxys. Forgive me, I have a lot of congestion, and I also just drove back from Miami late last night. But a little bit of my story is I grew up in the church. I was raised in the church. My stepdad was an AG pastor for many, many years. And growing up, I grew up in a divorced family. But the very unique thing is that my dad and my stepdad got along great. Father's Day, my dad would come over to my mom and my stepdad's house, Christmases, and all these different things. You know, my family was a Christian family. My mom and my real dad just didn't get along, but my dad took care of my mom, even though that they were divorced up until she found my stepdad. And you know, I just grew up in the church. I loved God. After church, my mom would take me to go get ice cream, and we'd get a balloon, and I'd write a Bible verse or write a prayer to God, and I'd send it up, you know, to heaven. And I just grew up loving God, you know, naturally, and loving the church, loving growing up in youth group, loving, you know, children's church, all these different things, doing different events and stuff like that. And, you know, something happened when I went into eighth grade. Some type of rebellion sparked, and through that, I begged my parents. I said, you know, I want to be out of Christian schools. I want to feel what it's like to be normal and go to a public school. And so I did that, and I couldn't find anybody that I related to. I felt like an outcast. I felt like an outsider. I didn't see any Christians or anything like that. And our natural reaction is to be able to find fellowship with people. You know, that's how we've been created. That's how we've been intended. And so I would try to relate to people and go find friends and different things like that. And slowly I started hanging out with people that were not good for me. And I started smoking weed. I started drinking. I started doing all these different things. And at eighth grade, I got convicted of 9 first-degree felonies of arson. Somebody who was raised in the church and all these different things. And I set my neighbor's car on fire and a bunch of different things. And I was high, and I was just going down this horrible road. It seems kind of funny now, but it definitely was not funny then. And I went through high school, and at 16 years old, I broke my arm riding dirt bikes. I used to compete. And 2 weeks after that, of being on painkillers from my arm, my dad got diagnosed with brain cancer. And it destroyed me. And I started having a hate for God and asking, you know, how could you possibly allow this to happen, you know, to my father. And the enemy, what he does is he starts working very, very slowly, because he knows that when he sets up this perfect platform, you fall more than ever. And that's what he was doing. He was starting slow with smoking weed and hanging out with wrong people and all these different things. And then when something very tragic happened in my life, everything fell apart, and I didn't care about anything anymore. And by the time I was 17, I went into my first rehab. When I was 19 years old is when things really started going downhill. I was in a car accident, and I went in drug-induced coma. And my girlfriend at the time, her brother passed away in the accident. And 2 months later, my dad had passed away. He was fighting brain cancer for 3 years. And I say all that to say that, you know, you would think that after all these things that would happen, I would finally come back to the Lord. But it just built up my pride all the more, saying, you know, I'm just not going to die. And having that kind of mentality and not really caring. And so I came out of the hospital after being in drug-induced coma for 6 weeks. And I went back to going to the doctor, going back on painkillers and different things like that. And at the age of 19, my parents were finally like, you know what, we can't afford to take you into another rehab, because they had just spent $60,000 when I was 17 on a rehab that only lasted 6 months, and I stayed clean for a year and a half. And so I went into the Salvation Army at Sarasota, and I did well for a little bit. And I was getting into the presence of God. I was getting into worship. I was getting back into reading my Bible and different things like that. I was communicating with my stepdad and talking to him a little bit about the Bible and restoration and healing and stuff like that. But as soon as opposition happened, and I saw drugs inside that facility, I started using again, and they drug tested me, and I failed, and I got kicked out. And there was a month between me getting kicked out of the Salvation Army and me coming to Loving Hands, and I had reached my absolute bottom. And it wasn't because I went to jail. It wasn't because, you know, I killed somebody or anything crazy like that. I was just tired. I was tired of running, because my whole entire life, from a very young age, I knew that I was called to some sort of ministry all my life. And my parents said through the whole time of my rebellious state, Billy, it's time to serve Jesus. It's time. You've got to stop running. You're called and you're set at a higher standard than where you're living right now. And my stepdad said these one words, and I became furious when I was in the truck with him. He said, Billy, you're screwed. He said, because God has called you and you're running. He said, you are done for. He said, God has marked you. And when you hear the name of Jesus, God has marked you. His word does not come back void. And the whole time I was running from him, the whole time I was running from the calling, because I didn't want to sacrifice, because I thought that the world was good. I thought that the world was fun. And just like your pastor said, sin is fun for a very moment. But when it has you, It's killing you slowly, and you don't realize it until you're at the very bottom and your family is done with you, your friends are done with you, and you're alone and the devil has you. And that's what happened to me, is that I was alone, I was tired, I was spiritually dead, and I didn't see anywhere else to go. And I knew that it was either going to be prison, which I'm very small, and that wouldn't work out very well, or I would end up dead. And those things came very real to my life, and it was a perfect setup, and it was God ordained that my neurologist told my stepdad, he said, why don't you check out Loving Hands Ministries? And 25 years ago, when my stepdad was a youth pastor for First Assembly of God in Ruskin, they used to support Loving Hands Ministries, and the thought never crossed his mind, because he didn't think that they existed anymore. But it was the perfect moment when his stepson was ready, and I heard about this ministry, and I was in detox, and it was like the Holy Spirit just came inside of me, and I wanted nothing more than to come into this program, because I knew that what my stepdad was saying and what the program was talking about was absolute truth, and I was about to receive freedom, you know. And I'm going to have the guys come up and have them share their testimonies. Yeah, you guys can come up. And, you know, I say all this because we live in a world that is drawing. And we can be in church, we can be volunteering in church, but yet we're bound by sin, we're bound by the things of the world, and it's pulling at us, it's tugging at us, and we don't understand how to get free from that. And Jesus is calling us, just like these words on the screen, and just like we were singing, that when we're in his presence, that there's freedom. There's freedom in his presence. And I don't know what you guys are going through today. you know, you guys are going to hear the testimonies of these guys and how they've experienced freedom, you know, through God. And God has ordained this ministry to allow them to be secluded from the world and have 2 years of just being able to get alone, you know, with Him and being able to hear His voice and experiencing that freedom. And I don't know what you guys may be going through right now, but God is calling you to a higher level. God is calling you to a higher standard. When He gives you the opportunity to hear His voice, you know, he's giving you that opportunity to say, I love you, I care about you, and you are called to be able to be my child and to do the work that I have for you. You may think that you don't have a calling. You may think that you don't have a place in ministry to be able to serve or do something like that. But God has called you to be able to do the work that He has called you to do. And that's to be His disciple and to love people with an everlasting love. I'm going to go ahead and have Anthony share real quick.
Call me Anthony.
Sorry, Nicholas. I was thinking of Anthony back there.
My name's not Anthony. I'm Nicholas Costantino. It's nice to meet you, or nice to see you guys. You guys have a lovely church here. I'm right here from Bradenton, Florida. I'm 30 years old. Let's see here. Growing up, youngest of four brothers. You know, always in trouble and whatnot. 12 years old, I got introduced to marijuana. Started using marijuana around that time. A family friend did some things to me and my brother, and it kind of messed me up. It did. It messed me up, and from right there, my life really went downhill. I started to seclude myself. I didn't talk to my parents about what had happened and whatnot, and I turned to drugs and crime at a young age. I was in and out of juvenile systems, and then finally adult jails and prisons. All I knew around me was alcohol and drugs. My family was heavy into alcohol. I lost both of my parents 90 days apart to alcoholism. And after that, it got real hard and lonely and hopeless. And I had heard of Jesus. You know, I had met Him at a Billy Graham crusade when I was 12. And, you know, and He touched me there. But I spent a long time running from Him. You know, I never really understood what it was. But looking back, I can see His hand in so many situations that why I'm standing here today, which is nothing shy of a miracle, you know. Many overdoses, you know, this town is plagued with the epidemic going on. The numbers are going down. It's getting better. You know, I'm a standing testimony to that. You know, I've been on the flat line a few times. So one time I was in jail's you know, it ain't no fun. And I heard about this thing called the recovery pod. And you know, guys talked to me. He's like, yeah, man, you should try it out. You should try it out. I'm like, no. He's like, hey, listen, they play movies. I'm like, cool, movies. You know, I'm in. So I put in a request. They got a little kiosk. I put in my request, and I got back there. I get in, and I'm talking to everybody. I'm like, so when do they play the movies? They don't play no movies. You know? Yeah. So they got me, you know. Yeah. So I'm there, and, you know, they take you to a bunch of meetings a day, and different organizations and churches come in and share the gospel. And money cannot pay for, you know, what is going on there. And what it did for me, you know, I've been to so many secular rehabs, like Billy said, and whatnot. But what I experienced there was God, was life altering. Loving Hands Ministries came in, one of the first classes that I had, and it was Gus that day, and he came in, man, and this guy, you know, if you heard his testimony, it's serious, and you have a room full of 30, you know, all different races and ages, just listening to him, and it was amazing to hear where he had came from, or where he is today. And who it was that God did it, you know, that God got him out of there, you know, by turning his life to Jesus, and it gave me hope. So I put in my request. I went to court, and I was having a little battle. My attorney told me that it would never happen, that I would never get accepted to Loving Hands. And a couple rows down, like, I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, man, maybe I'll just go and get out and keep doing what I'm doing, you know, maybe I'm not ready. I heard this guy that wasn't even talking to me, and he said that the devil knows your name, but calls you by your sin. And Jesus knows your sin and calls you by your name. And I just knew right there that that was God speaking to me, you know. And I was all by myself, you know. There wasn't no, you know, I was all by myself until that point. And I just felt the warmth come over me. And he went in that courtroom before me and he moved. And the next day at Thanksgiving night at like 4 a.m, Mr. Dillon and Gus, I came out those doors and I saw them two there. And ever since then, I've just been a changed man. You know, I know what hope looks like now. And hope has a name, and it's Jesus Christ, you know. But that, I'll leave you with my scripture verse. It's, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Almighty, which is Psalms 91:1. Thank you.
So if you guys don't know already, Loving Hands is a 2-year discipleship program for men who have drug addictions, alcohol, pornography, drugs, alcohol. And really it's set up, you know, to be able to help these men get free from those things, and also to be able to have a love for Jesus more than ever before. And the great thing about it is that it's 2 years and it's absolutely free, you know, for these men. And 36 years ago, Pastor Wendell Wilson had the call to be able to make Loving Hands possible. He stepped down from being a pastor for 25 years and told Miss Nancy, he said, you know, this is something that we have to do, you know, and they made the sacrifice. You know, Pastor Wendell could have been, you know, a pastor of a thriving church and not have to worry about finances. But, you know, Miss Nancy, she babysat like 20 kids at one point, and just to be able to make ends meet, just to be able to help fund, you know, the ministry as pastor would help his dad with a painting business. And, you know, they just did what they had to do. And, you know, right before Loving Hands started, Pastor Ed asked a guy from the jail to come and eat dinner at his house. And Miss Nancy was kind of reluctant a little bit. But after dinner, he asked if he could spend the night. And, you know, that's how Loving Hands, you know, was really formed. I had the blessed opportunity to be with Pastor for a couple of years before he had passed away, when I went through the program. And I graduated the program back in 2014. And I went to Bible school, became a youth pastor at a church plant, and met my wife there. And then after that, we now have a 1-year-old child. So we're very thankful for what God has done in our life. And I never thought it would be possible, never in a million years, for what I went through and now where God has brought me as well. I'm going to go ahead and have Ryan share real quick.
Good morning. My name is Ryan. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. And I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to Christian school. And when I was about 14 years old, I started smoking weed, and everything kind of just took off from there. I used to get into prescription pills and selling drugs, and that kind of controlled, like, the next 10 years of my life. And over that time frame, I overdosed numerous times. I went to prison for trafficking drugs, and I put my parents and my loved ones, my brothers and sisters, through a lot of stress and pain that they really didn't deserve to go through. And when I was about 29 years old, at this point in time, I had been clean for about 4.5 years, and I fell back into addiction. And within 6 or 7 months, it just ate up everything good I had going for me in my life. And I thought that drugs were a thing of the past at this point in time. And I remember sitting down just thinking, like, I don't ever want to end up here again. I want to be done with this and be able to move on with life. And I'm just so sick of this kind of just like sucking me dry. And I had heard about Loving Hands, but I wasn't really I wasn't ready to make such a long commitment. I had heard about Loving Hands through my boss. I'm a painting contractor in Sarasota. So I had the application, and then I looked it over, and it took me about 3 weeks to really make a decision to come here. And I felt like in that time, God was kind of just shutting doors in my life and, like, directing me to Loving Hands Ministries. And now I've been here for about 18 months now, and God is just doing some good things in my life. He's restoring the relationships I have with my family. My parents are just so proud of me, and there's nothing that they're not willing to do for me. And he's just really just teaching me to walk by faith, and I'm just excited to see what happens next. So Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
All right, the next guy that we're going to have is this good-looking, handsome man right here. His name's Phil.
Thank you. Man, I really got to learn how to get his testimony speed down. That's good. It's good. It's tough. It's tough getting up here and testifying. And Anthony was really good at that too. He was. I give it. It's talent. It takes talent to do that. It does. It does. My name's Phil, and I'm 32. I've been at the ministry for 11 months now. A lot like Ryan and Billy here, I was brought up in a Christian family. My dad was actually a pastor, as well as Billy. And like what he said, it's like, you know, when his dad told Billy, he's like, you're screwed because you're marked, and God's got a mark on you, and he has a mark on all of us here. I got into drugs at a pretty young age, and I dealt with identity issues and just not, struggling with self-worth, and it led into addiction. I struggled with that, trying to fill that God-shaped hole in my chest. And because I didn't really understand who I was in God, I turned to the world. And the more, like, I got the world in me, and the more I went after the world to fill those needs, the bigger that hole got in my chest, it snowballed. And like Pastor said, the sin is only satisfying for a moment, and so you dig deeper, and you get in more sin, and it comes to the point where, at least for me, it got to the point where life just wasn't worth living. I experienced the very lows of lows and the very highs of highs, and it was all or nothing really at that point, because life, because the sin, the world doesn't satisfy, and only for a moment. And it's like I got to such desperation. It's like I said, Lord, it's either all you show yourself evident in my life, or I don't care to live anymore. Just a couple things to testify about how God has been very evident in my life. But, at 8 years old, I was ran over by a car, and I carried the weight of the car on my stomach for over a minute and a half, and I was very mangled up and bay-flighted into the hospital, and I spent a month in the hospital, but I had many people praying over me. My parents prayed over me, and I'm here today because of their unfailing prayers. But I left that hospital without a single broken bone or any internal bleeding in my body. And I was actually, a few years later, I was shot in the back of the neck. I was bay-flighted then, too, and I should have been paralyzed. And then in my early 20s, I rolled my car at 105 miles an hour and walked away without a scratch on me. I just say that to there's no denying that God did not have his hand in those situations. And I say that to glorify him. I was addicted to drugs for over 20 years and to cigarettes as well. And once I made the commitment to come to Loving Hands, like, just chain after chain was broken off me. And the weight that I carried for so long. And it's like, for smoking cigarettes for 22 years or 20 years, I couldn't go up two flights of stairs without being out of breath. And now, like, I run 6 miles a week with a weighted vest. And God restored my health to me, like, so much. He didn't take that addiction. But, like, I'm so healthy, and I'm so happy that, his word is true. And he restores what the locust has eaten. And I thank you guys for letting me share my scripture verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path straight. Thank you, guys.
One of the things that I wanted to bring up is this ministry is really only sustained through giving, financially, volunteering at the chapel. We have pastors and lay people speaking and teaching the Word of God at our campuses. Right now, we have two campuses. We have one in Dade City, and we have one in Palmetto. And actually, at the end of March, me and my wife will be moving to Miami. I've been going to Miami once a month for this past year that I've been back at Loving Hands to launch our Miami campus. So we just really need your guys' prayers a lot because it's just me, my wife, and my one-year-old. And right now we're looking at living in Homestead, which is fine. But it's not the best part of the neighborhood. But God has called us, to sacrifice and not to be scared where we're at, to be able to take over our cities and to be a light, in those places. So we just ask that you would pray, for my family. That you would be praying, for this ministry, for this campus, and that that through God that, you know, we would be able to have the funding and, you know, the churches and different things like that, that are all necessities, you know, to be able to have this campus launch, because there is a lot of people, there's a lot of people in that region that truly need Jesus and chains to be broken, you know, in that area. It's so dark, it's so rough, and people are so broken in that area, and they need to be able to have hope, you know, just as you guys, you know, we come here, we come into church on Wednesdays and Sundays and different things like that, and we experience hope, we experience joy, we experience all these wonderful things that God gives us, but there are people out there, you know, that don't have somebody who loves them and doesn't have somebody to say, hey, come to my church. Hey, come to be able to see my awesome pastor who loves on me. And I saw him shaking every person, you know, hugging every person that came into these doors. There's not lots of pastors that are like that, that are that affectionate, that are that caring, that are that loving, that want to know you personally. You know, and that's a true asset to have, you know, as a pastor, and I just commend him for that, because this man loves you guys. I don't know him from Adam, but I know that he has a true heart for you guys. And I love the setup here. It's pretty cool. You know, I definitely enjoy it. But if I could, I would love to read a passage real quick. Okay, I have 3 hours. Yeah. Cool. So I've actually preached this message before, but I really felt pressed upon God to read this passage real quick. And it's in, oh yeah, oh okay, yeah. Pastor Wendell, because he was like 6'2", used to say short jokes all the time. Most pulpits are bigger than me, you know. Yeah, now I'm his height. But in Hebrews 10:36, it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And I just say that to say, you know, God has called us, you know, to be able to persevere no matter what the circumstances. My parents, my stepdad faces MS, my mom has Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, and my stepdad has, you know, I used to come home and after being high, and my stepdad would be in his chair at 3 o'clock in the morning, and just reading the Word of God and worshiping Him, and not everybody has a role model like that in their household, you know, and so many times, you know, I was able to see that as a role model. But, you know, even though he faces this pain and this anguish every single day, and it's really killing his body, that he still lives for God and he still pursues God as much as he possibly can. And so many times in our lives, you know, we face, you know, whether it's in our own body, whether it's our finances, whether it's, you know, whatever's going on in our household, you know, it's something, this stupid face recognition thing. But you know, I just encourage you guys, you know, that we need to pursue and be able to persevere, you know, through the things, through the trials, you know, that we come against. And I want to read this passage because it gives us an illustration and it gives us a picture. And it's about the woman with the issue of blood. It says, now a woman suffering from bleeding from 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. At once, Jesus realized in himself that his power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me? But he was looking around to see who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. I wanted to touch, you know, on this real quick, is that it's so easy for us sometimes, and God just recently healed me from hepatitis C, and and I say this not just because of personally what has happened, and I'm not just talking about the physical, but I'm also talking about the spiritual. Because I was a youth pastor for 2 years at a church plant, and it was very hard. Me and my wife had to work secular jobs, and it started out in a portable, and now, thank God, it's running 3 services, and they're out in 5 acres in a church building, and that's all good. But in the last year, before we came to Loving Hands, it took a major toll on my body, where I was tired and I didn't have as much energy as I wanted to. And between that and being able to see my parents from 4 hours away, with their bodies slowly deteriorating, thank you. It's okay. And being able to see when my stepdad would preach and how anointed his preaching was, and being able to see somebody who would be in the prayer closet for hours and hours and hours, and having that example and just battling through this, is that sometimes we allow the distractions of the world and these distractions of our suffering, that whatever it is cancer, or just being tired all the time, or getting older, or whatever it is, we allow these circumstances that are around us or inside of us to allow us to not do what God has called us to do. You know, and I just look at this picture, this illustration of this lady who is bleeding every single day for 12 years. And it was, she had tried everything possible. She had tried medicine. She had tried all these different things to be able to heal her sickness, to be able to heal her disease. I want you to see this, is that she tried doing everything possible in her physical means. She tried with money and finances and all these different things, so much to the point where she was broke. And she trusted in all these doctors. But as soon as she found out truth, because she heard about, it says she heard about Jesus and all the things that he had done. Jesus didn't post on Facebook and social media on all these graphic designs and all these wonderful things that we see on mainstream churches. And I'm not knocking that. But Jesus didn't post things around every street corner to be able to get flocks of people. It was because he was so anointed, and the things that he did came tangibly, to where when she heard about Jesus and the exploits that he was doing, she knew that it was truth, and it increased her faith to be able to receive. And sometimes we never receive our healing until we go up to glory. And that's okay, but it cannot slow down our pursuit to God. It cannot slow down the call that God has on our life just because we don't have enough finances, just because our health isn't there. God wants us to pursue him with everything we have, because God has given us enough. Paul said it very plainly, very clearly, when Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you." You know, there's so many different doctrines, whether it was a physical ailment or a spiritual ailment. It doesn't matter. He was being afflicted. And it was tiring on his physical and his spiritual body. But Jesus was saying, "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul went on to say, "I've been beaten and shipwrecked and all these different things. But the call of the gospel is so passionate inside of me that I don't care about how many times I'm being abused, how many times I'm being shipwrecked. It doesn't matter anymore, because my passion for Jesus, once he saved my life, I just want him. I just want to be in his presence. I just want to tell people about his love and bring hope to people." You know, and I stand before you guys as somebody who used to steal from my family and didn't care anymore, because I was so passionate about fulfilling my flesh, that when I came to know Jesus and his truth, and became free from the things of the world, that I just love him. And I just want to do what he has called me to do and be faithful with what he has called me to be faithful with. And I was able, you know, this morning to just read a passage of scripture with my son who's 1 year old. You know, it's those things that are so dear to us that we take advantage every single day. You know, it's getting back to the basics and allowing it to be in our home. You know, to love Jesus in our home and to share that with our kids, to share that with our spouses. When's the last time that you guys prayed with your spouses or prayed with your children? I'm not saying these things to convict. I'm saying these things because I love doing them. It's a legacy that I'm passing on to my son every single day. My son is going to be able to say, I was born in Gainesville, but I was then a pastor of a church in Lake City, and then we came here, and then we came to Miami. Why? Because my parents were passionate about the gospel. My parents were passionate about Jesus, and they went wherever that he called them to. You know, and if God is calling you to do something, even if it was 15 years ago, he still put that inside of you to do that same thing. Just because you're 15 years older doesn't matter. He will give you the strength and he will give you the resources to carry that through to the end. Thank you guys for letting me share. I'm going to go ahead and give this to Pastor.
Praise the Lord. I love it when the Lord is speaking. Anthony, you want to come up here for a minute? Well, that was pretty wonderful. That's for you. You don't have to. You can throw it away if you want. Thank you for encouraging the saints, the work of the ministry. That's a good word, I think, for all of us. Now, we support this ministry as a body, but they also have T-shirts and hats and crosses and things like that that you can purchase back there that also would support the ministry as well. So they have a little table back there. So we want to encourage you to go back there, spend your money, and it's going to help a good cause. And I would ask that you would pray for them personally. We support them as a body, but they also have brochures out there as well, like this one right here, if you would like to support them personally as well. And so please feel free to take one of those and give here or to Billy. And so wherever the Lord leads. There was something that we want to just kind of close out. I'm going to hand the mic to Anthony in a minute, and he's going to close us out however he feels led. And this is such a... The Lord gave me a little illustration, okay, which normally I love the illustrations. And I got one this morning that I thought, oh, Lord, And he's just convicting me. You know when you just... He's pressing something on your heart. And I'm thinking, I don't know, Lord. But he's pressing it on my heart. So this is for somebody. So this will make sense for somebody, okay, today. All right, so you guys know our family. We've got six of us in our family. We've got like a million dogs. Okay, that might be an exaggeration. But anyway, we got lots of dogs. We got lots of kids. We got all boys. And then they have boys over, friends. And so our house gets, you know, messy, okay? And we have these couches that we bought, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And so we've pretty much, these couches are worn. They, we finally broke down and we got some new couches. And so as we were, I didn't really realize how bad these couches were. You know what I mean? Until we took them out. And then I'm realizing, oh, yeah, I forgot. I mean, these couches, when you sit, I feel kind of embarrassed now. I was, you know, like when you sat in them, you actually sunk down because they were so broken. Like we had to put, I thought, oh, yeah, we put boards under them like 5 years ago because people were already sinking down. And the springs were like actually out of the couch. And I'm thinking, doggone it, I never even noticed that. And they're ripped, you know, we've got them duct taped together. You know, with black duct tape. So you look at these couches. We brought them out, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And they're so broken down and they're so beat down and they're ripped, they're torn, they're crushed, they're broken. And we, for the first time, we got these couches at 85% off. Okay. I was like, yes, you know, and so we got these new couches at 85% off. And so we actually had them brought in, and this is like the nicest thing we've ever had in our 25 years of being together, me and my wife. And we're like sitting in it going, this is so amazing. This is, I can't even, we never even could imagine having something so wonderful. We could have people over, and of course we could have people over before, but anyway, but it was just so beautiful and just so amazing and just so, and the Lord just gave me this illustration. Those couches that I didn't realize, like, I didn't notice how worn and beat and broken down and ripped and shredded and crushed, how crushed they were. That's like us. That's like trading in our old life. We're trading. They took away, they hauled away those couches that I thought were fantastic. They were just, I didn't even realize how bad they were until we got the new couches too. And that's what God wants to do for you. And so whether it's an old life or an old habit or something that's beaten, maybe it's just you. Maybe you're beat down. Maybe you're crushed. Maybe you're broken. God wants to give you something. We couldn't even imagine having something so wonderful. And that's what God wants to give you. He wants to take that old life, to haul it away, and bring you something you never could have even imagined. That's what our God does. Allow him to do it in your life. Anthony, would you close us out in however you see fit?
Morning, you guys. I did go through Loving Hands and graduated a couple weeks ago, and yeah, it feels good to not have to wear a suit every Sunday, so but I'm definitely grateful for that. But I'll just share real quick. I just wanted to hopefully encourage some people today. Before I came in the program, I had been clean for years, and I related to what Billy said when he lost his dad. I had lost my best friend, and that I was very close to, and it devastated me, and I didn't realize it at the time how much it did. But anyways, I went back to doing drugs again. I relapsed for about, well, as soon as I started using again, I overdosed, and I ended up in the hospital, and. And then I got out of the hospital, and I thought I was going to be okay, and I wasn't. I kept using for like 5 months or 6 months, and I just I couldn't keep doing it. But anyways, if you guys, everybody pretty much knows somebody, is friends with somebody, or has a grandkid or a sister or whatever that struggles with addiction and stuff like that. And the one thing I feel like the Lord put on my heart today was to just encourage you guys that. To keep praying for those people and to not give up on them. I've had, you know, family members in my life that pretty much kind of wrote me off, you know. Things are different now, and they see that, and that's good. But like with my mom back there, she always prayed for me, of course, and never gave up. And so there's always hope, even when those people look like there's, you know, like there is no hope. So I'm just going to close this out in prayer today, if you guys want to join me, and just pray for anybody that you may know, or for yourself, I mean, whatever it is. So Lord, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you that you love us enough, Lord, to not leave us how we are. And God, I just pray that you can encourage the hearts here today, Lord, instill hope in them, God. Hopefully through these testimonies and the things that they heard today, it will help them. And they can speak life into those people and give them the wisdom on how to help the person. If they're around them or whatever they have going on, whether they need to, you know, whatever it is, a program or lending them money or whatever. Just give them the wisdom and the guidance on how to deal with it, Lord. And We just pray for the rest of this day, God, that you guide all of us, that we can go out today, and that, like the guys were saying earlier, go back to the basics, like Billy said, and love people. So I just pray that we can do that today, Lord, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You guys are dismissed. Have a great week in Jesus' name.